Hello and welcome to the 100 Podcast. Sed and Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. We have just finished watching the Welsh Fireman and Oval Invincibles men tie in one of the best 100 games. I think arguably the best 100 game I've watched. I think it was an absolute riot. So many questions coming out of it. Is Glenn Phillips the best fielder of all time? Does Tom Curry even need to bowl anymore to be excellent in T20? Does Tom Abel know Luke Wells exists? All of these questions we have, and goodness me, it's just a lot to get through after that game. And this podcast is going to be looking at tonight's games, also some trends from what we've seen in a pretty fast start to the tournament and your mailbag questions as well. Charlie, all I can say is that was incredible.
I'm still catching my breath, to be honest. I have to say, and we were discussing before we started recording, last year's tournament, the men's tournament mainly, was, if we're being honest, a little bit substandard. There were a lot of one-sided games. For whatever reason, it just didn't quite click. But this season so far, with the exception of the washed-out games, which obviously isn't ideal, when the teams have gone out on the pitch and played cricket, it has been absolutely fantastic from the first game right up to date. There have been close games, there's been high quality cricket, there's been lots of players stepping up and delivering. It's just been such a high standard of cricket, so much fun. And frankly, that's all I need from cricket. It has to be fun and enjoyable and entertaining. And this season has been nothing but fun and enjoyable and entertaining. It's been an absolute treat to watch so far.
And we saw some great fast bowling tonight. Can we just talk about that? Gus Atkinson was bowling heat, utter heat. And I think people are going to forget that that happened because of the ending to this game. But Gus Atkinson was bowling heat. Harris Ralph was bowling heat. I thought Zach Chappell bowled really well, if someone would like to acknowledge how excellent Zach Chappell is. And I think the fact that Oval Invincibles got him into the game before 80 deliveries were gone was probably a good idea. He settled quite well. So he had some incredible fast bowling. I don't know, man. Glenn Phillips might be the best fielder who's ever lived. Like, I think that's genuinely. Look, I don't know how good he is in the slips, but like he's probably the best white ball fielder of all time. Everything you possibly want from this match. Joe Clark built a really nice innings, but Tom Curran at the end, after, let's be honest, the Oval Invincibles middle order had kind of screwed it up a little bit. And they got a bit, they just got a bit stodgy in the middle, really. And then Tom Curran comes out of nowhere and absolutely blasts Shaheen around. I mean, goodness me. I'm just flabbergasted.
Yeah, there's so much to take in. I don't really know where to start, frankly. I will say one of the things that is coming to mind now is something that we heard Mason Crane tell us in the very first season of the 100 when he came on the show, which is a good interview, by the way. Do go back and listen. I think a lot of what he says in that interview is still very relevant today. But one point that really comes to mind here is something that he passed on from Ravi Bapara. Now, Ravi Bapara told him that the one thing about the 100 that's exciting for him before the tournament even started was that if you look at the bowling attacks in the men's competition, most county teams in the blast only have one or two bowlers of that kind of standard. In the 100, the entire attack is of that standard, which makes batting that bit more difficult. And I think what we're seeing in the 100 so far, in the men's 100, is that is playing out in this season. We're seeing lots of early wickets. We're seeing lots of gun-deaf bowling. And I think that makes the game so much more balanced. And, you know, and that's where the most notable increase in standard, I think, is on the blast. It's been wonderful to watch.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. If you look at today's attacks, for example, okay, starting with the Welsh Fire, you've got Shaheen Shah of 3D, Harris Ralph bowling absolute heat. David Willey's played for England for years. David Payne's played for England and bowled some really nice slow balls tonight, and I thought has definitely developed on that side of things. You've got Ben Green, who takes lots of wickets for Somerset. Roelof van der Merwe, who's been excellent in T20 cricket for a long time, and Luke Wells didn't even get bowled today. And then the Oval Invincibles, you have both of the Currans. Gus Atkinson bowling 90-plus miles an hour. Nathan Sound, who's been the best bowler in the blast this year, arguably. Oh, just a bit of Sunil Narine. I mean, that, I think, is a really good way of looking at this. And obviously, batting really provides a lot of the explosive stuff you love in T20 cricket. And Tom Curran at the end, Chris Jordan the other night. A lot of that's why I think people remember post-tournament, but the fact we're getting to see Shaheen and Harris Ralph bowling 90 plus are some of the best players in the world. That I think that's a phenomenal point. And I think that's something that's really served the Welsh Fire well, both on the men's and women's side of things, I'd argue. They've really recruited bowling very, very well. Obviously, Shaheen, Harris coming on this side of things. They had Payne already. They got David Willey in. You know, you might want a leg spinner because Tom Hale doesn't really seem to want to bowl Luke Wells, but you have all of these incredible bowling options. On the women's side of things, brought in Shabnam Ismail, bowling heat and bowled fantastically today in that crushing win over Oval. You've obviously brought in Freya Davies too. These bowling attacks are really, really good. And I think that's a big reason why the Welsh Fire on both sides of this are looking considerably better this year.
Absolutely. It's the old adage, isn't it, that batting wins games, bowling wins tournaments. And that's something that both Welsh Fire sides have clearly bought into, recruited with that in mind. And so far, it's working a treat for them. And we have to touch on that Fire Invincibles women's game this morning, because that was crazy. And that shows you, that proves to me that the women's draft being introduced has readdressed the imbalance of quality considerably well, because that result prior to this season, I don't think would have been possible necessarily. But this year, we've seen the Welsh Fire rip through the Oval Invincibles, who have been so dominant in this competition the last 2 years, playing such an aggressive brand of cricket. And the Welsh Fire just ripped through them completely. Georgia Elwes bowled superbly well. Shabnam Ismail, of course, leading the attack. What a bowler she is. I'm sure the Invincibles will be having some regrets about letting her leave and go back into the draft. That might be coming back to haunt them a little bit now. Look, obviously, overall, a brilliant team. They're not going to be too beat up about this. But the resurgence of Welsh Fire is fantastic. You know, Alex Griffith is contributing with the ball. Alex Hartley didn't even play today, and they still managed to pull out that result from the bag. And you think this team has turned it around so impressively. There's just so much to like there. It's truly a joy to watch.
How, I mean, genuinely, if this tournament had gone badly for the Welsh Fire, two things. How far are we from Hula Hoop saying, please take us off the kit? And how genuinely far away are we from them getting rid of the Welsh Fire franchise and starting anew somewhere? I don't know how far away we were from that. But this Welsh Fire side has just taken the bull by its horns and got back going. And here's the other thing I just really like from the couple of games. So obviously, you get Shabnam Ismail bowling to Lauren Winfield Hill in the early games, going through that top order that everyone talks about, Oval Invincibles. And arguably my favourite part of the men's today was two uncapped players going at it. Gus Atkinson bowling heat to Luke Wells, who whacked him for six and then got done by some shorter deliveries, which were delivered with absolute fire. Just a cracking day of cricket. And I was watching on the sofa, and my girlfriend was in the kitchen. And she kept walking through asking, Ed, why are you screaming? So Glenn Phillips has just stopped to two. You don't understand. I just, phenomenal. And the fact that it was decided by one frame, the men's game, I think is just a classic cricket match. And I'll tell you what, the Welsh Fire got very close against the Southern Brave as well. What a cricket game that was. How close that game down with David Willey nearly getting them over the line. The Welsh Fire are fun. And that's the main thing here. And, you know, I think there's probably questions to be asked about the batting side. You know, they probably need Johnny Bairstow back. What do they do when Ralph and Shaheen are gone? But this team is fun to watch. And that is all we needed. So just so... so exciting to watch. And I think that's a good example this year, actually, of the fact on both the men's and women's side of things, teams are more competitive. Things are closer. Former powerhouses are struggling a little bit to find that right balance. And therefore, things are a lot more competitive. And I think that's serving this tournament really well.
Absolutely. You look at the men's Southern Brave, for example. I think in our preview, we were a little bit sceptical if they could find the balance that works for them with the players they have in their squad. And I think we're starting to see that come to fruition now. In the first couple of games, I think they were clearly light on batting, maybe one too many seamer. Chris Jordan's injury gave him the opportunity to readdress that, bringing in Joe Weatherly. But then he ended up batting at six, which isn't really his position, and didn't really find himself able to contribute to that game in any meaningful way. And when he did come in, the game was basically already gone. The middle order looked a little bit stodgy, with the exception of Tim David. But more importantly, the bowling looked like, you know, there wasn't necessarily, obviously, Tamal Mill was a fantastic death bowler, but with Chris Jordan missing, there wasn't, they were missing half of that attack that had been so important for them over the years. They also found themselves very light on a second spinner, and that's something that we could have predicted ages ago. And in fact, we did predict this, trying to get overs out of Tim David and Lewis DePloy making his 100th debut with the ball, which got us very excited. It was absolute shit. No offense to Lewis DePloy. I don't think he will be above admitting that it was... I described it earlier as September day four, Div 2 County Championship vibes, when it's like half the second team and everyone just wants to fuck off to Ibiza on their holidays. That was the kind of vibe I was getting from Lewis DePloy. Lewis DePloy is a really good player, but probably shouldn't be bowling in the 100. And that was very much a move of desperation from James Vince that he had to do that. But the wider point here is that we're seeing this former powerhouse side struggling to come together in a way that can consistently win the matches. Conversely, we're seeing the regular whipping boys, the Welsh Fire, coming out looking like, by all intents and purposes, a really strong side here. That's why I love the tournament. And forgive me if I'm a little self-indulgent here, but sometimes when I do this podcast, particularly last year, when the tournament maybe wasn't going brilliantly well, and for myself, I wasn't having a great time in my personal life. There were times, honestly, when I got on this show and I was thinking, what am I doing? Like, I'm just putting so much effort into this and it's just not that fun anymore. Mm. This season, I am feeling all of that joy I had in the first season come flooding back to me. It's been such a pleasure to watch that readdress of balance, both in the women's and men's side. It's just made it so much more fun to watch. All the games have been so tight, so interesting. It's just been fun, frankly, and I think that's what it's all about. So I'm thoroughly enjoying this tournament. I think that readdress of balance, that redistribution of talent across the sides has been such an important boost for this competition.
Yeah, it's a real shame that Lewis DePloy's bowling isn't theoretical anymore. We talked about in the preview, theoretically he can bowl. I don't want to see it. Practically he can't. Tim David also tried to copy Sunil Narine's action, I think is arguably one of the funniest parts of this whole thing. Because when I've watched Tim David before, the whole point is he's a tall man who gets a little bit of bounce. And now he's kind of going in like Sunil Narine, trying to disguise his variations, which I assume are off-spinner and off-spinner dug in well back of a length that you can whack for six. It's not been great. But that's the thing about the Southern Brave. We talked about the balance just isn't right between getting some batting depth. I tried Garton at 5, that hasn't worked. And then getting the bowling attack right. And Rehan Armour has been fantastic this year, but they don't have their second spinner. Chris Jordan's now got injured, which, you know, at some point, one of these teams is going to go down. The balance just wasn't right. Alternatively, the Northern Superchargers, who I think previously have recruited pretty badly and haven't had the results they might have wanted. I mean, we talked pre-tournament about this side and what they could potentially be. And I think we felt incredibly good about the batting side of things. Our question was more about the bowling. Well, today, Matt Short's on fire. Harry Brook is obviously one of the best T20 players in the world. Lyth drops out, but you've still got Banton, Visa, Hose, Zibe, and then the bowling. You have 7 genuine options. And if you include Matt Short in there, who I think personally is a pretty good part-time off-spinner, Callum Parkinson in the side looked fantastic. Rhys Topley took wickets, got Adil Rashid. I mean, suddenly the Northern Superchargers, I'm thinking this is a side you can make a real, real run if they continue to play Callum Parkinson and Wayne Parnell captains well. And I think that's what's really exciting. I have to admit, you know, we've been critical of the Superchargers in the past, but I think the men's side looks pretty good. And I think especially when you consider they're without Ben Stokes still, and they're going to be for the rest of the tournament, obviously, I think that's pretty impressive. And I think that bowling attack's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, I feel pretty similarly right now about the Superchargers women. I think they're both in a similar boat. I think there are limitations to both sides, but I think this season they're both setting up in a way that neither of us quite expected they would, but it's working for them. I think they're both currently getting an awful lot out of what they have available to them. And if you can do that, if you can maximize your resources available, there's every chance you can go a long way in this competition. I know this is such a cliche and such a buzzword, but momentum is such a big thing in these competitions. You don't have that many games. All you need really is that run of momentum, that flow, that rhythm. And if you can get into that, And while you're maximizing your resources in that time, you can go all the way. You don't necessarily have to be the best team on paper to win a competition. You just have to make sure that enough parts come together at the right time. And I think both the men and women currently are showing signs that they could potentially do that. That's why these tournaments are just so much fun.
Yeah, let's get to a mailbag question earlier, because I think it ties into this discussion while we're on the Superchargers. Tom got in touch and said, do you still think Northern Superchargers women are bottom table contenders? I think you had been far too harsh in previews and that their performance against the Birmingham Phoenix showed just the quality, dare I say, top three that they have in all departments. Now, this question was sent in yesterday, I believe, which is before the Northern Superchargers women were thoroughly beaten by Southern Brave. But what do you make of that, Charlie? Because I think we were pretty harsh on the Superchargers women. I had them as a bottom two or three team.
Yeah, maybe it was a little harsh. I think they're a mixed bag. I think I'll echo what I said earlier in that if they hit the ground running as they have done prior to the Southern Brave game, and if they can maximise their resources, they could potentially challenge for the top three. What I will say is that because the talent is spread so much more evenly across the sides this year, it makes it considerably more difficult, I would say, to have a really concrete idea of who the top three sides are going to be and who the bottom two contenders are going to be. You know, I don't think it's as cut and dry as it has been in previous years. So with that in mind, you know, if you put a gun to my head and say, who am I going to pick to go bottom two, bottom three, I might still lean towards them. But I also feel like there's every chance they can get top three. So that sounds like I'm sitting on the fence. I kind of am a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
You are.
But it's hard not to sit on the fence when the talent is spread so evenly now. Do you know what I mean? Like at some point you have to say someone's going to be bottom three. Someone's got to be top three. But it's just quite hard to do that.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's very easy. I don't think we were wrong in the slightest. I think the Northern Superchargers put away a Birmingham Phoenix side that, to be honest, without Elise Perry, just isn't quite right yet. And I think the Birmingham Phoenix can hopefully turn it around, but they weren't looking right in the first game. And they came up against the Southern Brave women, who I think are the best side in the tournament. And to be honest, were pretty easily put aside today. And obviously, you know, the Southern Brave women are fantastic. Suddenly they have Lauren Bell back. But I still see them as a middle of the pack, lower side, personally. They've got Wareham, who's obviously bowling very, very well. And that's, you know, so big for this side. And Lindsay Smith is bowling very, very well as well. Her started the tournament really nicely. And I think that was a big question for us is, you know, can Lindsay Smith come in? But they're still, I think, having to depend on over some Ballinger, Rodrigues, Devonton Richards, which just aren't quite high enough quality, in my opinion. And then I still have a couple of questions about the batting. So, you know, I do see merit in this side. I think they could, you know, to win some games. I still see them as one of the weaker in the competition. I think that there's a few other things that have caught my eye so far in the tournament. The Manchester Originals men, I've been really impressed with how they've looked with the bat. Butler, Salt, Maxi Holden. That side's really fun. I didn't think there's questions about the bowling, but from the very limited action of the Manchester Originals, I think that batting line has got some serious firepower. Should be pretty excited about it.
Yeah, they absolutely do. They've not finished a 400 ball game yet, as indeed several teams across both men's and women's teams have been unable to do, which has been not ideal for them. But going back to the Manchester Originals, that top order's been looking very spicy this year, I have to say. Max Holden is the one I want to touch on. He is a serious player all of a sudden. I feel very smug about my Maxi Holden prophecy finally coming true. But in fact, we had a comment the other day, I think. I think I tweeted something from the podcast account about Max being, I said, I'll eat my hat if Holden isn't playing overseas franchise cricket this winter, which is something I will absolutely stand by because his numbers this year are insane. The boy strikes over 180 against both pace and spin and averaging over 30 in the process. Like that's the player who is absolutely quality, particularly given that a lot of those games are at Lords as well.
Yeah.
You know, that takes some beating for me. But I had a comment, can't remember who it was, that said I'd rather have Wayne Madsen.
Now, yes! Matthew Knight. So I knew exactly who this was, but I was going to bring it up as well. Matthew Knight, as a Manchester fan, I'd rather have Wayne Madsen back. Fair play to you, Matthew. You know the brand. You know Wayne Madsen is the perfect Originals player. Legend. Sorry, continue. What a fantastic.
We love Wayne Madsen here, and we're on record as saying that he is the perfect player for the Manchester original side. And I think it is a testament to the side that he can't get in this team. But it is pretty funny that you'd be willing to talk.
We finally found someone who likes Wayne Madsen more than we do. We can go now. Podcast done. We always said this day would come.
Our mission is complete. We've done it. We've successfully brainwashed someone enough to take over.
Oh, I don't. But excellent, isn't it? Look, I mean, especially when you consider Butler's looking in absolute heat and Ashton Turner's, you know, Laurie Evans is in fantastic form. You feel great about that. Obviously, the concerns are about the bowling side of things. I do like a summer mirror, but I think the seam bowling department's an issue. But what a fun side. Just what a fun side to watch play cricket. I think that's going to be really good.
Yeah, we've not always been the hugest fan of this side. We've always found them a little bit weird to predict, much to the chagrin of Manchester Originals fan on Twitter, one of our long-time followers, long-time engagers. And fair play to you, mate, because this team you've got this year is genuinely very fun. And I feel like you won't have to be nagging us anymore to be more positive about the team. Certainly not the men's team, because I think we're both in agreement that, yeah, the seam attack probably isn't brilliant, but it's a good vibes team. Yeah. It's very fun. And that's kind of all I care about half the time. Yes, we do these deep dive previews and stuff where we try and take it seriously, and we do. But frankly, when I'm watching a game, what I just care about is it's fun, and that team is fun to watch. So right now, that's my opinion.
On the men's side of things, I don't think it's on the women's side of things. We've always backed the Manchester Originals women. On the men's side of things, we've always had a slightly anti-Northern vibe. Northern super creaky. We've never backed the Originals men. I wonder now if we're becoming a bit anti-South, especially on the men's side of things, not the women, but Southern Brave women are the best side in the tournament. But the Southern Brave men are creaking. And I have my concerns about them. And obviously the London Spirit don't look great, and I'm not sure about the Oval Invincibles either, even though tonight came pretty close. Hey, things are changing, but the Supercharged men, the Originals men, great fun to watch. On the Originals, we also got a mailbag question from Delhi Capitals fan asking, do you think that the Manchester Originals women can turn things around this year? Well, we haven't seen them play yet. So to be honest with you, I think our vibe starts pretty similarly to what was in our preview podcast, and that's great. A preview podcast that's still timeless about, well, a week into the tournament. How fantastic. I think I'll stand by that. So we'll see with the Manchester Originals women. We will see when they actually play some cricket, and hopefully we get some good weather over the next couple of weeks, because things are really heating up in this tournament, and it's great fun. Let's get some mailbag questions, shall we? Still a few more to get through. Random cricket stats is asked. Name one team you feel better about and one you feel worse about after the initial games. I think I feel better about Northern Superchargers men. And I think I feel significantly better about Welsh Fire women. I had Welsh Fire women in the kind of fourth, fifth, mid-table range. Pretty optimistic they'd be better. But I think I might have underrated how much of a game changer it would be to have Laura Harris and a bit more top-order support for Hayley Matthews, as well as the gun seamers we've talked about, and how much of an impact that would have, because they look really good.
Yeah, I have to agree. I almost feel like it's cheating to say the Welsh Fire women here, because
it would be difficult not to feel better about the Welsh Fire. Let's be honest.
Well, this is my point. Like, we knew they were going to be better than what had come before, so I feel like it's such an easy answer. But even then, I feel like it is fair game to say them, because like you, I kind of pencil them as being a mid-table side this year. But the way they've kick-started this season, it looks to me as if they could be a genuine contender to win the thing. I think the way they're coming together so far, particularly with the ball in hand, has been so impressive. I think we're a little bit sceptical about where that middle over wicket taking threat would come from. But so far, all the bowlers we weren't quite convinced about have really stepped up. George Elwes, Alex Griffiths, they've both been bowling exceptionally well so far. They both look like they can take wickets pretty consistently. In fact, to do what they did versus the Oval Invincibles, who've been such a dominant force in this competition the last couple of years, you think if they can do that, where does it end? So, yeah, it would be remiss of us not to shout them out here as well. In terms of who I feel worse about, the first one that comes to mind was the Birmingham Phoenix men's versus supercharged display wasn't ideal. Mm. But given that it was only 60 balls of cricket, they're also missing two or three players for injury and international call-ups, it feels slightly harsh to name them in this situation. So I think it's got to be the Southern Brave men for me in terms of who I feel worse about. Something isn't quite clicking there. I'm struggling to find a way which you can balance that team to make it work for me. I think currently, whatever you do, you're missing something, whether that be a death bowler, whether that be a second spinner, whether that be a middle order batter. I don't see a way in which you can configure that side currently to avoid at least one of those roles being missing. And even when Mitchell Santner comes in later in the tournament to replace Tim David, yes, he gives you the second spinner, but you do lose a fair bit of batting there. I'm not sure he necessarily fixes that issue. So you kind of end up strengthening one area and weakening another. So I don't know how I feel there. I don't think Allen and Conway have necessarily clicked in the way you'd hope they would. And I think that's a really, really important cog in this team for them, that top three of Allen, Conway and Vince. You need them to be scoring the majority of your runs, I think. Those Chris Jordan heroics from the other night are not going to happen every day. Tim David's big knock today probably isn't going to happen every day as well, given that his previous highest score in his competition is 22, which is absurd given his obvious talent, given that he's not sticking around for much longer before being replaced by Mitchell Santner. You start to think, where are the runs coming from? And it's
they need Mitchell Santner. That's the thing. I was going to say, like, who's the perfect player they actually need right now? Left-handed middle-order player who can hit and then bowl some spin. They really need Mitch Santner. The problem is then, how do you replace Tim David's runs? Because I think he hasn't had the best time in 100 so far, but he's going to at some point. He's a fantastic cricketer. So you have to replace those runs. And stuff like, so do you bring Alex Davies back in to bat in the middle order, give it more? He has done a role for them in the middle overs when they have been successful. It has been a bit stodgy, though. Is it Joe Weatherly? Something about that doesn't quite sit right with me. We'll see how we go, though, because we've got lots of cricket to go. And more about questions. Mr. Hassan, will the Birmingham Phoenix women miss Elise Perry hugely this season? Elise Perry obviously pulling out of 100. Just ahead of time, having played a lot of international cricket this summer, which I think is something we did mention quite a bit on the preview about how much you'll be able to bowl. Not available. It is a huge hit, Charlie. I think just straight away, leadership, experience. They brought in Tess Flintoff, good cricketer, but obviously not Elise Perry. So you're just gonna miss a player like that. And I do think it dents how I feel about them in terms of how they can challenge for the title this year, even though we haven't really seen them play a great deal.
Yeah, there are some players that you just can't replace like for like, especially not that close to a tournament starting when the draft has already happened. Yeah. And Elise Perry is one of those players. She is just so good at what she does. And the all-round package that she brings with bat, with ball, and as a leader, as a captain, as a presence that she is in the dressing room, with all of her experience and nous, that's not something you can just go out and get off the shelf a few days before the competition starts. Those players have already been snapped up or made themselves unavailable already. You can't get that. Now, Tess Flintoff is 100% in the mould of the kind of player that the Phoenix love to sign. They love to sign a seam bowling around there who can give it a hit with a bat and bowl some tidy seam. So she, in that respect, she fits the bill. But as good a player as she is not Elise Perry. And as I said before, that's not the kind of quality you can just replace at the tip of a hat. She has very big boots to fill. She's not going to do what Elise Perry does. No one really could. And it's a big loss, you know. It's difficult to undersell, I think, how important a player she was to this side. And it's not easy to come back from that.
I think that's fair. I think they'll hugely miss her. A final mailbag question from Random Cricket Stats. Surprise of the season so far. A couple of things for me. Firstly, just the standard of cricket. I think it's been fantastic, seeing the best of the best every night. It's been great, even when it's been raining. And the fact that there's been some really close games has been great. Surprise for me. The commentary this year, from all sides of things, it's been shit. Can we just call it what it is? Just the standard of knowledge and commentary. It's awful. So commentators not knowing what players bring to the table. Can they bat? Well, but I guess we'll find out. I mean, these are surely professionals coming to cricket games to commentate, should know the players they're commentating on. If they don't, we'll do some bloody research. I think it's really disrespectful to the game. I think it's really disappointing. And I think fans deserve better. And I think that's on all sides of this, even though there are some, I think, at fault more than others. Just very disappointed. The cricket's been great. That side of it is not. I think that needs to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to call it what it is. I think that what Chris Hughes did to Maitland Brown was bang out of order. He would never have done that to a male player. I think it's sexist. I think it's grim. I think it shows that A, you should leave that work to sports journalists, and B, don't look at a woman and think sex. Frankly, like, it's just fucking gross. And I don't understand why that mentality is a thing at all, let alone why is it on our TV screens in a sports game. I think that's grim. There's also been some other little moments I've noticed during coverage that I've not been quite as brazen as that, but I haven't particularly enjoyed the undertones that have been there. I think there are ways that some commentators and pundits have interacted with women players that they would not do with men players. And I think that is a big yikes and should not be happening. But to go back to the other point, yes, the sound of the commentary has been below par, mainly in the women's side of the competition. Again, the lack of knowledge has been really disappointing and disrespectful and upsetting. You know, there are, in fact, today's game, Southern Brave Northern Superchargers women, Kumar Sangakkara, repeatedly asking Charles Dagnall, can this player bat? What's this player like with the bat? It's your job to tell us, the viewer, that. It is literally your job. You are paid to know what these players do. You are paid to be a commentator, to commentate on the action. And to do that, you have to know about the players. That is literally your job. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't be commentating on women's cricket. It's disrespectful to the players. It's disrespectful to the audience. And it's just disrespectful to the game, frankly. I think that's just bang out of order. I don't want this to become a rant, but it really annoys me. You know, it's such a basic level. It doesn't take much effort to go out and watch some women's cricket and do some research and just know what the players do, know what they offer. I mean, knowing their names properly would be a start. That seems to be something that's lost on quite a few commentators. I heard the likes of Chloe Triad happening today. I've heard Mary Kelly. You know, it's just like, this is base level stuff.
Yeah, and it's a shame to hear it from Kumar as well, because I love listening to him talking about cricket. I think his insight is fantastic. I love hearing him break down keeping and batting. Just a shame you can't do the research to get to a base level, even just to know the kind of players you're going to be seeing. It's just disappointing, and I think broadcasters need to help hold these people to account a bit better, to be frank. So not for it to become a moan, but I think given how good the cricket's been and given the effort these players are putting up every day, you should be able to learn the names and know what they do, even on a base level. So I think that's been really disappointing. Not to end this in a rant, but it is disappointing, and I think it's worth talking about because it's part of this tournament. So there we are. I don't have any more mailbag questions, but I don't want to end it on that note. So can we just very briefly talk about Glenn Phillips again?
Let's do it. What a fielder he is, by the way.
I think, here's another thing. I think it's one of the wide things. Is often we don't talk about fielding as much in T20 cricket now, because it used to be you do one of those fantastic catches on the boundary where you jump over the edge and then knock it back and jump back in. They're like, oh my goodness me, that person is the greatest fielder of all time. And now it happens every game. It goes down. But I thought the Welsh Fire, in amongst all of this, in a very close game where they didn't score enough runs, and they missed a couple of chances, their fielding was exceptional. And actually, probably it's Harris Ralph in that first David Willey over saved, five runs? Glenn Phillips must have saved 5-10 runs himself. It was fantastic. The standard fielding of the Welsh Fry, I think, arguably, is one of the things that will get forgotten from today's game. But athletes like Glenn Phillips do a great deal for their cricket team. And the fact that Harris Ralph, who's bowling 90-plus rockets, is flying about on the boundary as well is absolutely huge. So, yeah, just really enjoy that. Beyond everything else, watching someone like Glenn Phillips, who hasn't quite hit it off with the bat yet this tournament, just flying about in the field and being exceptional is great to watch. And that's what I think makes the Theatre of the 100 so good right now. Great fast bowling, great batting, great fielding. It's electric.
Well, for one thing, it's very entertaining. But I think it's also worth mentioning that in today's game, I think that's a great example. If just one of those stops is unsuccessful, Welsh Fry lose the game.
Yeah.
That's how fine the margins are in some of these games. Every single one of those stops is genuinely pivotal. And I know the whole every ball counts thing as the marketing slogan they use in the 100, you could argue that's true of all cricket really, and it is. But it's particularly true at the moment, I think, because if just one of those deliveries had gone a different way, the result would have been different. And that's why it's so fun. That's why this is such scintillating action. It's genuinely box office stuff right now. Like I'm the amount of household chores I've been delaying doing so I could watch every single ball of these games. It's a not a great indicator of my priorities right now as a domestic man. But B, I think it shows you how engrossing and gripping this action is. And that's frankly all this competition has to be a success. High quality, exciting cricket across the board. And so far, that's exactly what we've had.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And look, I've got a few complaints about this tournament, the commentary, the fact it's raining all the time, the fact that Samet Patel isn't in it yet. There's lots of gripes to be had, but hey, this tournament's been good when the cricket's been played so far, and we just watched an absolute belter of a game between the Oval Invincibles men and the Welsh Fry men. Just some really great cricket all around. Look, we'll be going through all sorts of stuff throughout the tournament, a couple of podcasts here and there. Got some interviews coming your way very soon. You can check out our Luke Wells interview right now. It's on our feed. How good's he been batting? He's been electric. You can find that right now, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're going. And it's at Podcast 100 on X if you want some X than takes on Lewis Du Plois' bowling mid-game. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.